The Kingdom Underground, written by Black Cat and read by K-Burb. This is a Clone Wars fic, rated teen and up audiences, in which no archive warnings apply. It features the relationships between Fëmur / Fox and Mandalore the Indomitable / Ulic Qualdroma. Additional tags include alternate universe canon divergence, magical realism, ghost, Tong species, Tong clones, and Mandalorian religion. This is part 4 of Forge Fire. Have you seen Thorn? Fox asks, annoyed. A missing senator is normally nothing to call in off-duty troopers over, but Padawan Skywalker is making himself a headache, and Fox is tired of it. Thorn can at least pretend to be polite. Fox can't be bothered, especially to uppity, snarly Padawans who give him a headache.
No, sir,
Hound answers, a step behind Fox with Grizzer at the ready. There's no trail to find, though. Amidala's scent runs up to the start of the port, then disappears.
He's not answering his comm.
Fox growls under his breath, because Thorn knows they're never supposed to be out of contact. Even being off-duty is a polite fiction to make some of the bleeding hearts in the Senate feel better about running almost a billion men into the ground without pay, or the most basic consideration. And Fox is going to get the biggest carking earful about some of his men not being on the case. Particularly since Skywalker managed to get Palpatine's ear somehow. That's giving Fox a headache, too. Keep trying to reach him, he orders. Thorn's the most familiar with Amidala, given his work as her guard on diplomatic missions, and Fire and Stone are both off-planet, so the guard needs all its commanders working. His comm chimes insistently, and he gives it a dark look, sending back an affirmative, and pulls his helmet back on.
Take the lower platform. See if you can pick anything up. I'm going to brief the Chancellor. Sir,
Hound answers sharply, and Fox veers off, stalking down the busy corridor. He's annoyed enough that even watching senators scatter out of the path of his murder walk isn't satisfying, though, and he mutters a curse under his breath, keying the lift open and stepping in, then turning to level a killing glare at the aide who's just trying to sidle in. Immediately, the aide finds something better to be doing, veering off like that was her plan all along, and Fox rolls his eyes. Cowards, all of them. It would be funny if Fox didn't want to dropkick every person in this building down a mineshaft. Something cream and white and gold catches his eyes just before the doors slide shut, and Fox shoves a hand out automatically, something in his chest turning over. Well, maybe not every person. That's a little extreme. Commander, the captain of the Temple Guard says, perfectly polite, tone as warm as ever as he ducks into the lift, careful not to crowd Fox despite his size. Going to see the Chancellor. If Fëmur is being sent to see Palpatine as well, it probably means Knight Kenobi bent some ears too, Fox thinks, maybe a little grumpy about it. Not about seeing Fëmur, but a Padawan shouldn't be able to stir up this much of a mess. If Skywalker was a cadet, he'd get shunted off to sanitation for making so much noise.
Yeah, about Amidala, right?
He says gruffly, and waves the door shut before anyone else can intrude. His chances to actually get any time alone with Fëmur are all like this, stolen moments between crises, and Fox is entirely willing to tweak the rules a little to make the most of them. If he'd known Fëmur was here, he would have picked a slower lift, too. Fëmur nods, tipping his head to watch the floor numbers rise, and Fox takes the chance to study the way golden hair curls around his throat, slides out from under the white hood like a temptation. Senator Amidala has always been a friend to the Jedi, he says, and Fox can hear the smile in his voice. Whatever I can do to help, I will. It's hardly nothing, having a master Jedi here to help, and Fox grunts in satisfaction, only partly at the idea of Fëanor sticking around for a few hours or a few days. It's probably wrong to hope that they don't find Amidala too quickly, but, well, Fox doesn't give a monkey rat's bald ass about a senator, even a relatively decent one. He's stuck on Coruscant, and they're the sole reason.
Good,
is all he says, trying to hide his pleasure, since it's probably not appropriate right now.
If you're willing to come with me to the Undercity, I want to check the levels below the Senate building.
A jarring, shuddering wrench jolts the whole lift, so sudden and sharp that Fox is thrown right off his feet. He slams bodily into Fëanor, feels Fëanor hit the wall even as one arm snaps up to hold Fox steady, and feels the sudden, wrenching drop right in his bones. The lift plummets, and Fox snarls, grabs for the waist-tight bar, but misses as they hit something that spins the lift to one side. The impact hits an instant later, hard enough that Fox's vision goes black for a moment, and he hears Fëanor cry out as metal gives way. They spill out onto cold metal decking, reeking of rust, and Fox rolls right to his feet, blasters in hand, up and aimed and ready. Fëanor is behind him, on the ground and not getting up, and the air is dark and humid and reeks of wet metal in a way the Senate building never does. Far below it, that probably means. And Fox triggers his helmet lights, then stills in surprise, eyes narrowing. A clone is sitting in front of an old pile of scrap metal, slumped back against a beam, and it takes Fox a long, long second to recognize Colt, stripped of Rancor's intricately painted armor, with a pile of something bright and sleek and metallic beside him. Weapons, Fox realizes belatedly. Colt has a pile of weapons Fox has never seen before next to him, and he's smeared with ash, arms scattered with slick, shiny burns, his face slack with exhaustion. His eyes are closed, and for an instant, Fox almost thinks he's dead. Then, with a sound of concern, Fëanor is past Fox, limping slightly but quick on his feet. He crouches next to Colt, raising a hand. Colt catches it, almost too fast to see, and opens his eyes. In the darkness, reflecting in Fox's helmet lights, they shine like forge fire, an unsettling, unearthly glow. Commander, Fëanor asks, quiet, gentle even as Fox's unease rises, full of teeth. Are you all right? Colt looks right at him, then shifts his gaze, eyes tracking straight to Fox. Then, with a groan and a heave, he shoves to his feet, dragging something up out of the pile with him as he takes a few unsteady steps forward. This one's yours, he says, and shoves it right into Fox's hand, so that Fox has to fumble, drop his blaster, and catch warm metal before it can clatter down to the floor.
Colt, what the hell?
He asks, deeply suspicious, because if Rancor Battalion's top commander is having a mental break, and then, like a flash of mercury, liquid and hot, something slides off the handle of the axe, drips down his fingers and over his wrist beneath his armor, and Fox wrenches back with a sound of alarm, scrambling to get his gauntlet off, to get whatever is on him away from his skin. Like molten metal, something iridescent and shimmering settles into his skin, and Fox scrapes with his nails but can't get it off, swears at Colt as he backs away.
I'm going to karking murder you,
he snaps.
Colt, wake the hell up.
It's tradition, Colt says, like that's an argument, and it sounds raw, like he's been breathing in smoke, or maybe like he's been screaming. There's a lightsaber crystal I need to find. I rebuilt the hilt, but I can't find it. Lightsaber. Something cold fractures in Fox's chest, and he jerks around, looking for Fëanor. A figure in the shadows, a Mandalorian in rust-red armor, a golden faceplate on his helmet, already reaching. Fox shouts, but Fëanor isn't moving, and Fox lunges, swings. The axe Colt forged cuts right through the Mandalorian like he's a ghost. And Fëanor crumples to his knees, a keening, desperate sound breaking from his throat as he claws at his mask. Something shimmers around him. Something rises. And just for an instant, Fox can see a man in tattered Jedi robes, more rip than cloth, with brown hair and brown eyes and a black mark seared between his brows. His body is imposed over Femur's like a hazy afterimage, and he's reaching for the Mandalorian, expression hard to see but desperate. And the Mandalorian reaches back, seizes him, even as he tears his helmet away to reveal gray skin and yellow eyes, simian features, cups his face, Femur's face, and kisses him. Fox tackles Femur out of the way, right over the edge of the platform without hesitation. One arm tied around Femur's chest, the other still clutching Colt's axe. He tumbles down, down, down into darkness, fury biting hot in his veins. In the whirling darkness of their fall, Fox catches a glimpse of another figure in armor, watching as they near. Red gold armor this time, bright as copper, wearing a woven cloth with long tassels and a conical helmet, a familiar battle axe in hand. It's the twin of the one Fox is holding, and he jerks as they tumble straight towards the Mandalorian, fall through him, and Fox feels the sudden crackle of power, as bright and vicious as lightning, eating its way down to his bones. Maybe he screams, or maybe he passes out, or maybe he burns, all the way down with Femur caught up in his arms and a god in his head, settling in like coming home. The end.